Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 14 to 21, and I'll reference God. Please stand as His Word is read. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come to the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. You may be seated. Last week, early Tuesday morning, there was a ship that pulled out of Baltimore Harbor. Pulled out from the pier, did a U-turn to head out to sea, escorted by two tugboats. It was heading from the pier right across from Fort McHenry and was heading from this Baltimore pier out to the Chesapeake Bay. It had to pass under a bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The Francis Scott Key Bridge is named because right along the place of where that bridge goes, it is reported that Francis Scott Key, that's where he was on the ship when he was watching the bombardment of Fort McHenry and wrote the poem, The Star-Spangled Banner. Well, as that ship, and it wasn't a small ship, the ship, the Dolly, was 984 feet long. Now think about that for a minute. That's 3 football fields, like end to end. And 138 feet wide. It carries up to 10,000 of those box containers. It was only carrying half that at the time that it pulled out. And it's heading out, heading to the space under Francis Scott Key Bridge. On this bridge, there are people going back and forth. It's an interstate highway that goes over that bridge. Also on this bridge, there was a group of workers fixing potholes because, you know, all roads get potholes in them, and they need to be repaired. Sometimes they take longer than others, especially in the Houston area. But a crew of 8 was fixing potholes on the bridge. They didn't pay much attention to the ship heading their direction. Ships had passed under the bridge. Since the bridge was opened in 1977, the people traveling on the bridge didn't think much of a ship heading toward the bridge because that happens all the time. Well, a problem occurred on that ship. And instead of heading for the channel safely under the span of the bridge, it lost power and was heading toward one of the support pillars of the bridge. Still, the workers on the bridge are not aware of this. They're working The people are still crossing back and forth on the bridge. But a mayday goes out. And a mayday is a call from a vehicle saying, we're in trouble. We need help. The message was heard by those that controlled the flow of traffic on that bridge. And they called in people to stop the traffic on the bridge. But the ship is still coming. One person to stop traffic on one end had to do a U-turn to get back around to block the traffic. But they got the traffic blocked. They heard the message. And they were able to stop the north and southbound traffic. If you watch the video, you can see the last car that was traveling across the bridge got off, passed over the span 35 seconds before the ship collided with the support pier. But the people working 185 feet above the river level, fixing the potholes, were still there. The ship is coming. But they had no place to escape. Six died. They still yet to recover the bodies of some. I tell you this story to remind you that there's a truth that we can see about Easter from this. There is a judgment coming. Just like that ship was headed for the bridge. And we know what happened now. The whole bridge collapsed. All the steel truss stands fell in. If you watch it, it happens in a matter of seconds. It's like something you see off a action movie. It just, a domino effect. You wouldn't think that it could happen like that, but it did. But there's a judgment day coming. And just like the workers on that bridge, there's no way to go, to run from that ship coming. Now, it's only coming at about 9.5 miles an hour. But I don't know about you, but I can't run a half a mile in 9.5 minutes, or a mile and a half, rather. It's the length they would have to run to get all out of the way in just a few seconds before that ship hit, when they realized the danger. That car traveling at interstate speeds only got out of the way 35 seconds. Imagine someone on foot. And imagine you're there repairing potholes. There's a lot of distracting things keeping you from hearing the warnings. But there's a judgment day coming where God will judge every man to determine whether they should be allowed into heaven or not. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it is destined for man to die once, and after that, to face judgment. You don't get a second chance. There's no reincarnation. You have one life, and then you're facing judgment. The ship is coming, the ship of judgment. And there are warnings that are going out. Warnings that there's danger approaching. You need to get prepared. In John chapter 3, verse 14, this might seem out of place until you understand the background. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In Numbers chapter 20, 1, verses 4 through 9, it gives us the events of what happened here. The people were in the wilderness. God had rescued them from being a slave in Egypt. He had brought them out with power, showing his power over all the false gods in Egypt. And they're grumbling. They're grumbling to God brought us out here. He doesn't like us. He's just making things bad for us. And God brought poisonous snakes into the camp of the Israelites. If the snake bit you, you're going to die. Well, people were dying. And they called out, "We have done wrong. We've sinned by complaining about God and what he's doing." So Moses was told, make a bronze snake. Put it in the center of the camp. And anyone who's bitten, all they have to do is go and look at that bronze snake in the center of the camp, and they'll be cured. So Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, and people were saved from the death that was coming on them because of their choice to sin against God, blaming God for their situation instead of thanking God for his rescue of them. And so, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, showing that Jesus is going to be lifted up on the cross. And then, verse 16, one of the most famous verses that people have heard, although a lot of people, when they see the reference John 3:16, don't know what it means anymore. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That ship is coming. That judgment is coming. God sees our situation. He doesn't want anyone to perish. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, and chapter 18, verse 32, it tells us, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he would rather they repent and live. We also see the same thing in 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Peter 3:9. God does not desire that people perish, but that they're saved. Now, if Tuesday's morning events had been a scene from a Marvel action movie, here would come Spider-Man on his spider web, even though he's not from Baltimore. He just happened to be visiting. And he would swoop down and rescue those 8 men on the bridge. Well, we didn't have a Marvel action movie. We had 8 people plunge into the river to survive. 6 died. Because the ship, the judgment of that ship proved to be overwhelming over the bridge on which they were standing. And we are all standing on the bridge of sin, thinking it will hold us up, but there's a judgment coming. And our bridge, our own efforts will not save us from the judgment from the coming. But God came to his creation, came down from heaven, humbled himself, and became human as well as God, and lived among us, and died so that we could live. So Scripture tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There must be bloodshed, and Jesus shed his blood on our behalf. If we ended there, we wouldn't know for sure. Did Jesus really have the ability to forgive our sin? We can go to his grave and see his body there if it just ended. But it didn't just end there. To prove his power to forgive sins and to conquer sin and death, he rose again. The grave is empty. You will not find the body, the bones of Jesus, because he's not here. He is alive. He proved that he could save us. Now, some of us might not think that we're guilty, that we're on that bridge of sin. Galatians 3:24 says the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What is that talking about? If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, you also see it in Exodus 20. But Deuteronomy 5, we see what's known as the Ten Commandments. The first commandment: there's only one God, worship him only. The second commandment, in verse 8, do not make an idol. Now, an idol is not necessarily making a little statue, but it's making up a false god. Some people make up false gods, and they give it the name Jesus. You might have heard people say, well, my Jesus would never condemn sin. My Jesus would never do anything that I wouldn't want him to do. That's a Jesus in your imagination. Jesus revealed himself in Scripture. The next commandment, verse 11, do not misuse God's name. That's not using God's name as a cuss word. Using it trivially. Have you ever heard anybody use God's name as a punctuation mark? Instead of saying or ah, they just add God. The next commandment, verse 12, take one day out of seven to worship God and rest. These first four commandments are our relationship with God. A lot of us cannot see how other people are doing that. We don't know, but it's easy to see the next six commandments. And if we're honest with ourselves, we look in verse 16. It tells us to honor your father and mother. Not because your father and mother deserve it, but because God deserves it. And that doesn't mean honor your father and mother until you move out of the house. You're to honor your father and mother. Period. Verse 17, do not murder. Well, finally, one, I haven't broken. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us, if you've been angry with anyone, you're guilty of murder. And then verse 18, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus tells us also in Matthew 5, lusting, as we say, is committing adultery. 19, do not steal. And doesn't say anything big, anything over $20 in value. If you've taken something that doesn't belong to you, you stole it. Verse 20, do not lie. White lies are okay.
No.
A lie is a lie. Verse 21. Do not tell it.
No.
If you ever watched any television, now even they're showing up on your cell phone, commercials. They're based on getting you to want something somebody else has that you don't. That's telling. And if we are honest with ourselves, we see with these 10 commandments, we are guilty of breaking them all. If we're honest, we will admit we're all lying, cheating, adultering, murderers in heart. We haven't honored God or honored our parents. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The ship's coming. We're on the bridge of sin. There's nothing going to stop that ship. Even if they could slam on the brakes, a ship that's 3 football fields long, weighing 95,000 tons empty, doesn't stop on a dime. It takes a while to slow down. I remember being on an aircraft carrier at sea, and somebody fell overboard. You couldn't turn the ship around quickly. They sent out a helicopter until the ship could be there on the plane rescue. But the turning radius of an aircraft carrier or a sea is measured in miles sometimes, depending on the speed. Because you get all that momentum and you can't stop it suddenly. Think about this. If you trip and start falling, it's sort of hard to stop falling. You've got that momentum going, you just can't think, well, I got strong calves and thighs, I can throw myself back up. Well, that happens in some martial arts action movies, but that doesn't happen, you know, with most of us in real life. Momentum carried that ship to hit the pier that had a supporting beam that supported that bridge. Judgment's coming. We're on the bridge of sin. On that bridge, a warning went out, and they were able to stop the traffic going north and south. Many people were saved instead of hearing a death toll of 6. We would be hearing a lot larger death toll. But the people heeded the warning and they took action. You've been given a warning. There is a judgment day coming. Will you take action and get off the bridge of sin? If you're there, God sent his son to rescue you. But he's not going to rescue anybody that refuses to be rescued. Look at what it says back in John 3, verse 16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You have to believe that you're a sinner, and that only God can forgive you of your sins. Look with me for a moment in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. You can't be saved by just being sincere and believing something else. you can sincerely believe that a almost 1,000-foot-long ship will just bounce off the bridge here. You watch the video, it hit the pier. And if you look real closely, you'll see a puff of smoke going up. That's all the wooden timbers they had around that pier to help slow down the ship. And it just blew up in a cloud of smoke. All man-made efforts to stop that judgment ship from coming failed. The only hope we have is to believe in Jesus Christ. There is a judgment day coming. And just like nothing's going to stop that ship, you can watch the video 1,000 times. The ship's going to hit the bridge every time. You can't change it by hoping it does something different. You can't stop God's judgment from coming. Because God is a holy God, and there will be a judgment there. What would you say about a judge that said, I'm not going to send this person that the jury has found guilty to prison or to jail? He should just go free. I'm just going to throw the case out. You'd say that's not a fair judge. We can say that about an earthly judge. But why do you say God will throw out the verdict that we are all sinners? All short of Israel. He won't. God is a God of justice and mercy. Mercy. He came to save us. There's a ship coming. It's called Judgment Day. We don't know when it's going to come. I haven't been able to find out the details of the two people that survived. I don't know if they saw the ship coming at the last instant and jumped off the bridge. I do know that six of the people who died, two of them, they found trapped inside a truck. They weren't able to get out. The people jumped because at the last minute they saw the ship coming. I don't know. I haven't found that yet. But we didn't know judgment's coming. And the only hope we have of being rescued is through Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. The grave is empty. He has proved his power to forgive sin. He has proven his ability to conquer death. And it's not just an empty tomb. Many people were eyewitnesses to his resurrected body. One time, over 500 people were gathered together. And Jesus appeared to a group of over 500. He appeared to the disciples, hiding in a room as they thought all was lost. But Jesus reminded them, I told you I was going to rise again. We have the testimony of those witnesses written in the Word of God. But the choice is yours. You can accept the truth or reject it. You can stay on the bridge of sin, hoping that ship of judgment is not going to do anything this time. Or maybe it's just a figment of people's imagination. But it's not. There's a judgment day. And God loved us so much, not because we're worth it, but because God loves. God didn't have to love us, He chose to. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we could live our act. He saved us right from you. Right from you. What choice are you? Are you going to be saved? Or are you just going to take your chances because of it? Because it is done. And we don't know if you're done. I can pretty much guarantee those 8 workers that went to work early Tuesday morning, or were working early Tuesday morning, didn't leave home and say, I'm going to die today. If they spoke to anyone, it was, I'll see you after work. Or they left going, you know, I'm going to go figure out work. I'm going to be back here after I'm done with work. We think that's it. We try to ignore it because it doesn't come. We have an empty tomb. Because judgment's coming. And there's a way to avoid the judgment falling on us. By His blood, we are healed. Will you accept His payment? Here at the front, we have what's called the Lord's Supper, the communion. I'll tell you, it's just grape juice and cracker. But it represents the blood of Jesus shed for us. The cracker represents His body shed for us. I ask you to prayerfully consider your position with God. Do not take the communion if you're not right with God. That doesn't mean you have to be sinners anymore. Just forget it. We're all sinners. The church should be full of sinners. But if we all are, we're just forgiven. And as we have the communion, I'll ask our companions to come play, and then as we come help us.